Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord says that there are those who feel that you have been disqualified, that you have not measured up, that there are ways in which you have not pressed into Him or sought after Him with your whole heart, and you know, and you've judged yourself in that and just feel disappointed in it. But I saw the Lord coming tonight, and He had a garment. It was a beautiful shawl, and He began to place it over your shoulders. And you were bent low because you knew you didn't deserve it. But He wants you to know that in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He's purchased garments of righteousness for you. And He's coming to place those garments upon you right now. He has a covering for you. His Holy Spirit is coming to cover over your shame. Just cover over small areas of disappointments or times when your heart gets a little hardened. And He's coming even right now to drape your shoulders and draw you close into Him. And He wants you just to receive that from Him. I'm just going to encourage you. If you've had that sense, I just couldn't quite measure up. I just didn't have the strength to continue to press toward the Lord. Or you've just felt disappointed. I want you to just raise your hand right now because He's coming with that garment. And just keep your hand up. Don't be ashamed about raising your hand. I'm raising mine too. And just bow your head and recognize that your daddy, your father, loves you with an everlasting love. And He's wrapping His garment of the Holy Spirit around you. He's lifting off that shame and that discouragement and the disappointment and just the setbacks. He's lifting them off of you because He loves you. And just receive that from Him. You don't have to do anything. You don't receive by your own works. You receive by grace. You know that, but sometimes you just get disappointed. So now receive that garment. Let Him drape it on you. It's covered with the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's meant to keep your heart and to keep your mind. It's what draws you into Him, to be one with Him. The absolute forgiveness of the cross and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we worship You, Lord. It's not by works that we've come to You. We've proved that to You time and time again, that we can't do it. But You are for each one of us. And You drape us in Your goodness. You wrap us in Your healing. You hold us in Your comforting arms. And we receive from You. This day we raise our heads. We raise our voices. And go ahead and raise your voice. If God's lifted that shame off you, raise your voice. We raise our voices to You. We absolutely adore You, Lord God. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the grief that You're lifting off of us. We thank You, Father, for the shame that goes at the cross. It's gone in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for comfort. Oh, we run into Your arms because You've made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ into Your most holy place. We lean into Your heart, oh God, and receive from You. Oh, we receive from You, and we bless Your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bless Your name as we receive Your grace. Amen.
And I am about to come and pour into you the oil and the wine of My healing power, not only for the knees tonight and the backs tonight, and the ears tonight. But tonight, even as you lay down in your beds, I will come in with My supernatural healing oil and wine and heal your very hearts tonight. Even the very depths of the hearts where you have been disappointed, where shame has been lying there and lying to you. I say that I'm coming in with the oil and wine of my healing power, and I'm pouring it in deep into the very crevices of your being. I'm going deep into your spirit man, and I'm causing your spirit man to come alive afresh and anew in this new season. And even as I had come to fill you with the Holy Ghost presence and power, I say that I'm doing that again. I'm filling you afresh and anew again. Even as your heart is tilted towards me, I say that I'm filling you again. Even supernaturally, without even a man or a woman laying his or her hands on you, I'm coming on you to you supernaturally as you lie down in your beds. I'm going to come and fill you afresh and anew to empower you for that which you have been called for. For that which you have been called to do and to be in this season. For this is Alaska's time. Do not wait for a man or a woman to come to you. But I say that my Holy Ghost is coming to visit your households tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Lord was just revealing to me that there's an anointing here tonight. Whoa. An anointing of a release from heaven of the prophetic. I mean, there have been people that have just said, if I could just hear your voice, God, if I could just hear you better. And God is saying he is hovering over you even now and releasing an anointing for the prophetic. And so if you've been crying out to God this way, just stand up right now. We're just going to receive that increase. There is the eye of the eagle that's being released to Alaskans. It's the eye, that prophetic eye of the eagle. And there is a soaring that has to come by revelation from on high. It comes from heaven. And oh, Father, we exalt you. We exalt you. Jesus, we know that you are the one. You're the one whose life is full of the prophetic. And we receive you into us more fully in that area of the prophetic. We receive the voice of the Lord. I speak to those blocks in the spiritual mind, in the spiritual ears, in the spiritual heart. I just speak to those blocks. Now you fall in the name of Jesus. And we put our trust and our faith in you, Lord Jesus. We say we will arise. We will arise on the wings of eagles. We will go forth and we will speak the word of the Lord. We will yield ourselves in humility to you, and we will speak only the word that you speak. Bring your anointing and release it into each person in this room tonight as we stand to receive. Now just receive that. Take a moment and receive. He's giving you grace to prophesy in a new way. Just receive it from him. Whoa. Just drink and eat and receive from him even right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, Lord God.
The Spirit of God would speak and say that you are my children, saith God, and you are the ones that I want to cause to stand higher, saith the Lord. For I would say, think it not strange that I am here and I'm healing people and I'm going to use you, saith the Lord. This is not just the beginning, but I would say you will see many, many things in these end times, saith God, that is strange to you. But to me, I am going to lead you. And I want your ears to be open, saith God. That's why I'm calling you tonight. Just exercise this gift, saith the Lord. For I want to speak directly, not only to your ears, but to your hearts. So that when you hear me, you will immediately step out and you will not hold back, saith God. For I would say to you that tonight is a new night. There is a new anointing for you tonight. You are going higher, saith the Lord. Don't go backwards, no matter what the enemy is trying to tell you. But I say, I want to rise, allow you to rise up within. And I want to direct you. Take my hand, saith God. Do not be afraid, for I want to lead you up, saith the Lord. I want to strengthen you from the inside out. I want to use your tongue, saith God. For it is such a time as this that the anointing is powerful. And I want to use you, saith God.
Hallelujah. All right, who else out there has a word from the Lord? God says he wants to use you. Hallelujah.
Okay, God want me to say this. I got so pushed to my heart to say this. I don't usually like to come out and say, but God is saying anointing. You all know anointing is the power of God. That is the life of God. When anointing is present, God is present. And you can talk to each other, bless each other. Just say, holy fire, whatever you need, whatever you get lead to speak to say, just bless each other. It will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, let's act on that right now. He said we're to bless each other. I want you to find someone next to you and start blessing them in the name of Jesus right now. And if you have that prophetic word, just a picture or a word, share that with them right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be shy. Come on. Come on. There you go. Good, Valerie. Hallelujah. Ricky Ashby. Ricky, love, you have a word for this gentleman here. Would you lay your hands upon him and pray for him? Yes. Thank you. You too, Bill. Come on. Hallelujah. Did everybody get prayed for? Blessed? Well, I'd say we've had church. Whew. I just want to rehearse some of the things that the Lord said tonight, because sometimes it's easy to move on and then we lose touch with what he said. What did you hear? I heard something so special I can hardly wait to get home and go to bed. Did you hear that word? He's visiting us tonight. Whoa. How many of you have, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was at night when you were at home? Yeah. Look at that. How many of you have ever had a dream or a vision from the Lord at night? Yeah, see? How many of you have been awakened by the voice of the Lord speaking to you in the night? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am so full of anticipation over that word. He said he is coming to pour out his oil and his wine. He's going to heal us while we sleep. Praise God. I want to know how many of you are going to expect a healing while you sleep. Whoo, Jesus. When I was down at the prophets gathering with Eleanor, one of the young prophetic evangelists, they were just reporting everywhere they're going. People are being healed and raised from the dead, blind eyes opening. We're not talking headaches leaving. We're talking major miracles are finally taking place in the United States, in America. And it's with these young, when I say young, you know, at my age, almost everybody's young. It's these wonderful, I think he was probably, would you say 30, Eleanor? Steve? Maybe 30. 30. He's a model. And he loves Jesus. He's a prophetic evangelist. So people are beginning to use terms to describe function. He's an evangelist who's also prophetic. Very, very simple. Listen, this is not complicated. I had, you know, I've been incapacitated almost all summer because I had just weird things going on with my legs, and I fell and chipped a bone, broke a few ribs, that kind of deal. So, and when I was a child, I hyperextended my left leg. So I've never been able to straighten it. I've always had to keep it slightly bent. Well, this young prophetic evangelist was sharing his testimony, and I suddenly thought, I'm going to ask him to pray for my knee. And he healed me. God healed me. See? I know you can't see, but I am straightening it. And he prayed a simple prayer. And asked how it was doing, told me to do whatever I do. And I said, well, there's just a little bit of a twinge here. Be honest. If there's a little bit of a twinge, say it. So I told him, okay, I think it's the meniscus that's bothering me right here. So he laid his hands on a second time and prayed another simple prayer, healed. The power of God is pouring out in healing right now. So I want to stir up your faith. Because we can, the season has been long and dry and very difficult for many, many, many people, especially the dry part. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But that season's over with. There is a new season upon us, and it's important that you recognize the season that we're in, the timing of the season that we're in. I believe in time. Oh, and here's another thing. Prophets are declaring it. Listen to what the prophets are saying. Listen to what those who hear from the Lord are saying. Okay, here came another word. He was going to heal our hearts. He's going to remove the shame, the things that are hidden in the heart. He's coming with his healing power to go deep. He's going to go so deep you will never be the same. And things you have prayed for years are just suddenly going to be gone. And you won't even know what happened to it. You'll wake up a different person. You'll feel different. You won't be carrying that burden anymore. This is a new hour. Wow, listen to what else he said. He said he's coming to fill you anew. How many of you want a new prayer language? There are divers kinds of tongues. I believe in praying in tongues. And God brings new prayer languages for us in the night. Sometimes I've been in prayer and suddenly my language will change and become a totally different language. It's It's wonderful. I lack words because when I start thinking about him doing that, all I want to do is worship. All I want to do is praise, and it makes it hard to talk because I just want to shout. Let's just thank him. Thank for visiting us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for new tongues. Thank you for removing the shame. Thank you for causing us to be bold. Father, awaken us. Awaken us with your voice. We cry out. We cry out for the fulfillment of your word. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Do what you've said you would do. We believe your word. We believe it, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! He's going to empower us. Glory to God. His Holy Ghost is coming to visit us. Visit our household tonight. Did you hear that? I'm claiming the whole visit for my whole household. Not just me, visit my household. How many of you need your household visited? Some of you need to drive out some dull spirits that have been camping on your doorstep. You need to drive them out of your homes. Listen, the release of the prophetic. Judith brought that word, the release of the prophetic. Can someone give me some water? I was unable to take off the lid of that water. There's a release of the prophetic. Thank you, Robert. Tonight, how many of you want that release? How many of you believe you received it? I believe God will do everything he said he would do. If he told through his prophet that he was releasing the prophetic, I believe that's exactly what he's doing. That means he's releasing it in you. Doesn't make you a prophet, although I suspect some of you are. Don't get scared. Just be prophetic. Yeah, just be who you are. You are full of the Holy Ghost and power. And if you have not received a baptism of the Holy Ghost, I urge you with everything in me to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've sought him again and again and again and you haven't been able to have a breakthrough, do it again. Do it again. Get hungry. Get hungry for him. God always looks for hungry hearts so he can fill them. He loves it when you're hungry. He's causing blocks in the eyes and the ears to fall tonight. We will rise. This is a season to just receive. Who? He said, you are my children. You are the ones I want to stand with. Who? I will use you to heal. This is what the Lord said. I want to talk to those of you who are a little bit who've been around for a while. How many of you have been around for a while? Didn't you like it the way I put that? When you've been around for a while, and you've heard the messages, you've sung the songs, you've prayed the prayers over and over and over again, there's a tendency to slow down. That's not happening now. There is a new invigoration coming to the older ones who've been around for a while to shake off the dust of the past and get up, because I want to tell you, those wonderful younger evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, they are up and running, and we are going to run with them, because I remember the words of old that said the older ones were not going to be left behind, that there was a gray-headed army that was rising to run with the young ones. I believe in proper protocol, and the elders must lead the way. You must. You must believe. You must have faith. You must exercise your gift. You must pray. You must press in. You must give. You must love. You must. I'm exhorting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must go deeper. You must press in higher. You must break through that dullness in the name of Jesus. This is the hour when the body is mobilizing all over the globe. I talked with I have a dear friend who ministers in Pakistan. He showed me a picture on his computer of Pakistan. Of 500,000 Muslims and under a tent. They had to take out the backs and sides of the tent. 500,000, as far as your eye could see. And when they gave the altar call, 80% of them came to Jesus. 80%. Now the pastor and he was working with, they've raised up leaders, but they were water baptizing for days, 24/7, because there were so many converts. Baptizing. They're estimating 1/2 to 1 million Muslims are coming to Christ every month. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then when I heard the testimonies of these young evangelists that were seeing miracles all across the United States of America, Western United States of America, Greek mindset United States of America, the dead are being raised, eyes are being healed, ears are opening up, people are being healed in miraculous ways right now. Right now. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I'm so excited about this, I can hardly stand it. I want that for Alaska, too. And listen, God said, watch Alaska. Everywhere I've traveled for the last 20, 25 years, all over, they were saying, watch Alaska, watch the north. Something's coming out of the north. Listen to the sound from the north. That's us. And when Abraham George was healed, was raised from the dead, and he began to minister in the Yupik villages, and suddenly they're coming to Christ by the droves, whole villages coming to Christ. I thought, that's the sign. When I saw that Moravian church packed with people worshiping God, that's the sign. When I heard about someone getting healed, getting up and walking, that's the sign. I knew it was already happening. So now it's starting to happen. Now it's starting to happen in the lower 48. Just like God said. Just like he said. So shake it off. Shake off that past. Shake off the doldrums. Shake it off. It's moving. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. And effortless. Come on. Not complicated. You carry within you the healing power of the living God. You carry within you the prophetic word. I am finding more and more, I'll be in a restaurant or on the airport or in the airplane, and God will suddenly have me speak to someone, and it's effortless. Trust me, 20 years ago, that was not effortless for me. That was hard. I'd shaken my boots when God told me to go talk to someone. Now it's effortless because God is pouring out his anointing on the church right now. The church is beginning to worship. How many of you can tell something is stirring in you in worship? Can you feel that? Can you feel that? I'll be sitting there watching a TV show or driving down the road and suddenly realize I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for quite some time. It's just pouring out. There is a fresh anointing on praying in tongues. A fresh anointing. Whew. Listen, I was at the International Coalition of Apostles meetings, and at the last session, they had 4 patriarchs of previous moves of God on a panel. Charles Green. He'll be 90 in 2 months. Latter Rain Movement. Charles Simpson. Late 80s. He was a part of the discipleship shepherding movement. Then there was Bill Hammond, 82. He was the one of the fathers of the move of prophecy, the prophecy movement. And then there was a baby of the lot, John Kelly, 72. And John comes out of the charismatic movement. And one of the first things that Charles Green did, this elder patriarch of the Lord, strong in the Holy Ghost yet, he stood up and he began to explain the errors of the previous moves of God. Each move had error in it. Each move, the flesh got involved in some way. Each move, there was mixture. And he said, we walked as much integrity as we could in the light that we had. But we made lots of mistakes. And you must forgive us. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. How many out there have never had a mistake? You know what that did for me? It settled something. And I thought, I don't have to be perfect. Right? I don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We can be just like we are. We'll make mistakes. I could tell you a few. I mean, I won't, but I could. Oh, listen. The charismatic move, well, Latter Rain Movement ushered in healing. We're talking about T.L. Osborne and Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts, the healing giants, and Charles Green, David Schock. We're talking about, Wigglesworth. Yes. Whoa, powerhouses. One of the things these elder apostles said is those that have gone on before are still laboring with us. They are the witnesses. They're still there. They see us. They're cheering us on. They're cheering us on. They're witnesses. And they're working with us. And then we each one shared. And they shared the difficulty of their season. Every single one of them were rejected for the message they carried. And were, of course, hurt, wounded, etc. But they're still standing. Now they're on the other side. Now they're in a new season. Now they're talking to a room full of apostles that are up-and-coming apostles. And they're challenging them to never give up. Never, never give up. A new season is now upon us. The charismatic movement was the greatest movement in history. It hit every nation on the planet. It was the biggest move of God we've had so far. But they all agreed the move that's coming, the saints' movement, is greater than that which has gone on before. We are going to be a part of that. God sent us these words so that we would get ready. When these words come, I want to challenge you. One of the things that will happen is hope will rise, joy will rise, and unbelief will rise. You must wrestle your unbelief to the ground. I just went through a crisis because of God was calling me to come up higher, and he showed me the cost. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't want to do it. I was happy where I was at. And I saw this hurdle. I'm in the meeting. Here are these wonderful African apostles, and I'm in this meeting, and I see this hurdle. And I thought, I'm not sure I can make it over that hurdle. So I opened my laptop when I got to my room, my iPad, and someone had sent me on Facebook a video of a beautiful racehorse that was being in a cross-country race, and it came up to a hurdle. The hurdle was about this high. I'd say 6 inches. And that horse came up to it and dug its heels in and backed up. And the rider urged the horse forward. He came forward, dug his heels in, and backed up. That was me. I suddenly knew that was me. God was asking me to say yes. But it was a little hurdle. My hurdle didn't feel little. But I said yes. I said yes because I had intercessors, prophets, apostles praying for me to make it over that little hurdle. And as I watched the rest of that video, that horse suddenly leaped over the hurdle, and it leaped way up into the sky. It could have just stepped over the hurdle. And I started to laugh. I felt the joy of the Lord, and I realized we make our obstacles bigger than they really are. And you are stronger than you think you are. No matter what you're facing in your life, Jesus in you is stronger. And your flesh, your body, is going to make it over that hurdle. Come on, we've got the victory. Whoa, I'm excited about that. He said, I will direct you and I want to use your tongue. He mentioned that. He wants to use our tongue. How can he use our tongue? Give me some ideas. Worship. Exhortation, thank you. Proclaiming, preaching, encouraging, healing, prophesying, declaring, singing, worship. Can you do those things? He's not asking us to jump giant hurdles. It's a little one. And when we leap over that little one, we move into a level of greater power, because great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. Jesus is within you. His word of power is already in you. It's on your tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. How are you using your tongue? Complaining, I'll tell you right now, complaining won't work. Moaning about the sad circumstances, that doesn't work either. It's actually a time waster. The whole time God's waiting for you to use his word. Come on, use his word. Use his word. Begin to command. You are called as children of the Most High God. He said that. He reiterated it in the prophetic word. It's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. You are children of the Most High God. He wants you to make declaration. He wants you to declare who you are. He wants you to acknowledge what is in you. He wants you to begin to speak to that mountain and command it to go. There's something, I feel a Holy Ghost fire being stoked on the inside again. Man, I can hardly sit still. You know, there's a certain energy in the Holy Ghost that when I'd be studying the word, I'd suddenly start to pace. And or when God wanted me to deliver a prophetic word, I'd get agitated. It's because the power of God in you is greater than your physical body. If it weren't for the mercy of God, your body would explode. Because you are so full of the miraculous power of God. And we underuse that power. It comes through verbalizing. There's something about speaking our faith, getting scriptures together and beginning to declare, command that body, command your mind. Can you do that? Scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means every thought that says, that'll never happen. Oh, not for me. Or, oh yeah, sister. You know what I'm talking about? Every high thing that exalts itself as if your thoughts were greater than God. Come on. Let's put this in perspective here. Our thoughts are finite, limited to a three-dimensional world. Just a natural mind. We were created to be supernatural. God mentioned tonight, supernatural. He mentioned it several times. Did you catch that? That means it's beyond you. It's beyond the natural. Of course it's beyond you. It wouldn't be God if it wasn't beyond you. Right? So there is something precious that God is drawing us into. He's wooing our unbelieving mind. He's wooing us to faith. He's sending his word so you'll believe. Yeah, but. You need to get rid of the yeah, buts. It's a choice. You know, the thing I love about the Lord is he never forces us. He gives us choice. He allows us the privilege of being able to choose. Many people make rotten choices. Have you noticed that? Rotten choices. I've always puzzled over that. But then I've made some bad choices. I believe we're coming into a time as we're having our minds renewed, that we're coming into close alignment with the Spirit of God, and we will literally think the way he thinks. We will look at situations the way he looks at it. And one thing I love about this, some of these younger generation guys that are coming on the scene, is they didn't grow up with a lot of do's and don'ts and this can't happen and those gifts aren't for today. They didn't grow up with that. So they read it in the Word and they just believe it. They just think it's going to happen. And guess what? It happens. Well, I want to walk again in a renewed anointing. I am seeking God to bring me up higher. I am waiting on the Lord for some miraculous words, and I'm waiting for the courage. I'm going to step out and speak some scary things because I'm going to speak what I hear. And God is looking for a people who will do that. The original purpose of words is to create. The original purpose of words is to create. That's why you have been given a tongue that speaks, a mind that thinks, and the ability to communicate. You can communicate in a way that begins to bring life. I went up to this young man in a restaurant recently, just a few days ago. He was a young black man, I'd say he was probably about 35. And he looked kind of discouraged, just eating, not paying attention to anybody. And I went up and took hold of his arm. At my age, you can do that. And I put my head on his shoulder. Man, cheeky. And I said, honey, did. I called him honey. And I began to tell him what I saw in his life. When I did that, the message just unfolded until his eyes filled with tears. And he just kept nodding and kept nodding. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I'm pressing up higher in the things of God. He wants life spread all over Anchorage. He wants every university classroom. He wants every restaurant. He wants every movie theater filled with life. You are life givers. God gave you a creative ability when he gave you your tongue. Matthew 12. I do want to read some scriptures tonight. Listen to this. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. He's talking to the Pharisees. You snakes, he's calling them. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? Listen to that. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man, out of his good treasure, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, listen to this, that every careless word, every useless word, every idle word, every non-working word, every inactive word, every time you speak one thing, but you actually mean another word, every useless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. God is bringing a warning. It's time that we clean up our tongue. It's time that we stop cutting one another down or other people, even politicians. It's time we stop that. We don't know. Most of the time, we don't have a clue what is going on in someone else's life. Whew. I want to bring a working word, a loving, lifting up word. Even if it's a word of correction, no more turn and burn words. Words that say, come on, we're in this together. I'll help you. I'll help you with that. Come on, we can do this. Words that encourage. You know, the nation is being torn apart by racial tension. And we don't fully understand the underlying currents that are in this issue. But we can bring in healing words, prayers. While the nation wrestles to come to justice, you see, many nations within our borders have not had justice, not true justice. And right now, our nation is being challenged to find that path that will lead us into healing and wholeness. And it has to include everybody. There has to be room for everybody at the table. Now, I realize that we're in a secular society. But we, in this room, also belong to a kingdom that's not of this world. And as people of the kingdom, we must be willing to wrestle through hard issues, holding our hearts steady, withholding judgment, praying for discernment, praying for wisdom, crying out for God to show us how can we heal these breaches, praying for those kinds of healings. We can do it. We can do it. I don't believe the secular world is able to do it. But I believe God gave a key to the kingdom church. And that key is reconciliation, restoration. And it's proper loving alignment in the kingdom. I want you to know I'm standing with you. I am. I'm standing with you. I want you to succeed. Wherever you're functioning, that's where I want you to succeed. I want you to be the best mother there ever was. I want you to be the best father there ever was. I want you to be the best businessman there ever was. I want you to be the best prophesier there ever was. I want you to be the best healer there ever was. I want you to be the best cook there ever was. Whatever is in you, God has called you to greatness. He's called you to overcome, to be greater than you think you are. Do you know, I've heard this saying. I actually heard it on TV recently. A young man said to this woman that she made him want to be a better man. Have you ever heard that? I want to be in your life the kind of friend that makes you want to be a better friend, a better Christian. I want you to be that to me. I need those that encourage. When I came to that hurdle, my little tiny hurdle, that seemed so big to me, I needed the prayers of those who believed in me. I needed that. We are not going in alone. This is not the time of the Lone Ranger. One of the things that I see happening now, and we heard mentioned over and over again, is there is an aligning taking place in the body of Christ. People are linking arm to arm, ministry to ministry. And we saw it demonstrated in beautiful ways. Now, in the old move, everyone was sort of independent. Suffering alone, celebrating alone, starting ministries alone, you know, or just this, our circle, us four and no more kind of thing. It's not like that now. Now something wonderful is happening. You know what I think it is? New wineskin. I think this is what new wineskin looks like. I kind of like this new wineskin. It's not rigid. It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not structured the way I thought it would be structured. And it's strong. And it's moving. And it goes beyond the natural. You pick it up in the spirit. Something's happening to where we're becoming more sensitive to atmosphere around us. Can you tell? Pay attention. Pay attention. Wake up. Pay attention. Atmosphere is changing. When you train your soul, train your spirit to recognize it. When you walk into a room, just quiet yourself and finger the atmosphere. What's going on here? I was recently in a church, and I could feel tension in the room. There was something was going on. And then this prophet from Alaska got up and began to prophesy that instead of falling on their backs under the power of the Lord, they were supposed to fall on their faces in repentance. Woo, that was a good word. Listen, be sensitive to atmosphere. Let everywhere you go be an opportunity for you to come up higher, to encourage and bless. So that you're not one with idle, non-working words. And especially, do you remember when I read the part, what idle means? Not working. Idle also means inactive. It also means slothful. Ooh, now it's getting close, huh? It also means speaking one thing when you mean another. Two-faced, forked tongue. You know what I'm talking about? As people of the kingdom, we must not do that. We must say what we mean or hold our peace. I had someone, I was at the International Coalition of Apostles meeting. We're sitting at this table. Actually, Charles Green was at our table. I didn't know who he was. Boy, I was sorry I didn't know. I would have plied him with questions. But this woman sitting there asked me a question. She said, "What do you do?" And I could feel this. She was waiting for my answer to jump on it. There was a tension in it, and I could feel it. And I thought, how do I answer this? What do I do? And I said, "You know, I really don't know how to answer that." She said, "Oh, that's all right, that's all right. You don't have to answer it. Pay attention. Hold your spirit. God is calling us to be spirit-led, not spirit-driven. Spirit-led, not spirit-driven. When you begin to get agitated, I have found that certain news articles, when I have TV on, if I'm watching the news, sometimes they'll start reporting something. I start getting agitated in my spirit. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. It's driving. And I realize it's agenda-driven. They're trying to shape my opinion. And the minute I start feeling that agitation, I turn the TV off immediately. Because there's something wrong trying to snare me. The words come. Listen, pay attention to that. Not everything that you hear on TV is going to be truthful. Did you know that Fox News, that was our wonderful conservative news organization, is now owned 60% by a Saudi Arabian sheikh? Therefore, slowly the news has been shifting to present only positive articles or positive spin on anything that has to do with any terrorist activities, anything like that. And if you pay attention, over the years I've watched, because I knew that they were bought out a few years ago, and it's been getting worse and worse. So when I feel that agitation in my spirit, I turn it off. I want to encourage you, be wise. Be wise. Ask God to give you discernment. That's part of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Learn to discern, because there are so many lies being spoken now. So many. It's amazing. I want you to be quick to discern a lie or quick to pick something up. And you may not even know what it is, but something doesn't quite feel right. It may be one of those idle words where they're saying one thing, but they mean another. And you can become very discerning with that. It'll really be helpful as you're involved in things that have to do with investments, buying homes, cars, etc. Because you'll start becoming sharper at picking up on a lie. And I'll have to tell you, I've been dull as a brick because I just had this childlike trust and naivete, and I believed everybody. Boy, I got stung a few times. Man, could hardly believe it. But now I'm learning to hold and wait and pray, "Father, is this true? Should I be involved in this?" I believe that God wants to bring you into a very keen sharpness. But if you are slothful, Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness will cast you into a deep sleep, and the idle soul will suffer hunger." Why do you think the idle soul is suffering hunger? It's not just that they're not working. It's that idleness, that idle words produces slothfulness, and that the slothfulness produces slumber, and you fall asleep. You can't discern anything. The inside of you is very dull, and God is calling for you to sharpen your swords. Listen, an apostolic leader is a master builder. He plants, he lays foundations, but every man must be careful on how he builds, because you build on what someone else has laid. When those wonderful older saints were on the platform and they were sharing from, I mean, we're talking some of them 60 years of ministry. And they laid a foundation for us. The latter rain movement laid a foundation so we could come into the healing today. We don't struggle with healing like they did back then. Some of them were driven out of towns because they were, well, the message they were presenting. And I look at the ones that came out, you know, churches were split. Families were against each other. We don't have to deal with that. The foundation's been laid. The foundation was laid for healing. The foundation was laid for prophets. The foundation was laid for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. The foundation's been laid for that. It doesn't have to be built again, laid again. You just start building on it. But be careful what you're building on. You know what I'm hearing the prophets saying? Number one, angels are moving with the church right now. They are everywhere. My goodness, you can hardly turn around without bumping into one of them. They're just hovering. And I heard in that prophetic word tonight that the Lord was hovering. How does he hover? He sends his angels. They hover. I believe you're going to be visited with some angels tonight. There'll be a hovering taking place. Don't get scared. Hovering taking place tonight. We are a supernatural. People were coming into the supernatural place together. Glory to God. Listen, what you build is not going to be like the early generations. Those that laid the foundation, they had in their minds the kind of structure that was going to be. What the future was going to look like. It didn't turn out that way. Because the next succeeding generations each built on it according to their revelation. So here we are. I remember when, boy, if a man had long hair, he was just ungodly. Rejected. We had foolish things like that. You know, don't wear red because it's an ungodly color. Then I went to a church where they said, don't wear black because that's an ungodly color. Man, I was thought I'd have to get rid of my whole wardrobe just to be godly. Listen, every man's going to build according to their revelation. But it says, be careful how you build, because every man's work will be tested by fire. Do you know why there's sorrow? Why there are difficulties? Your work's being tested. That's how it's tested. It's fire. It's not, you don't just sail in untested. The wood, hay, and stubble has to burn up. I've had plenty of wood, hay, and stubble burn up. I mean, just bugged me, especially because I was so diligent with my little building with wood, hay, and stubble, that when it burnt up, I was shocked. Thought maybe nothing was left. Hey, I'm still standing, guys. Something was left. But build. This is the season for building. Build in your children. Build in your spouse. Build in your neighbors. Oh my goodness, I'm reaching out to my neighbors. They're great. How do you reach out to a neighbor? If any of you out there has an 8-foot or a 12-foot ladder, I will tell you how you can reach out to a neighbor at 4731 Mars Drive. Listen, practical. Practical. Listen, I went to my door yesterday and I found a turkey on my doorstep. Some wonderful saint of the Lord. Mwah. Left a turkey on my doorstep. And I'm not talking about the two-legged kind. I have a turkey for Thanksgiving. Simple. Simple. Who in your neighborhood needs a turkey? Who needs a loaf of bread? Who needs a ladder? I believe God is calling us to go beyond our comfort zone to link with our neighborhoods. I feel that I am a protecting agent in my neighborhood. Most nights, almost every night, I step out on my porch when it's really dark, and I stand on my porch and I pray for my whole neighborhood. I take authority over any evil spirit that's wandering up and down. I bind it, command it to go. It has no authority in that neighborhood. I began to bless my neighbors in front, behind, and on either side of me. And I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to begin to pour out holy oil on our neighborhood. Because I hear the sound of an approaching fiery presence of God. I want my neighborhood full of the Holy Ghost and fire, but somebody has to pray and declare it to come in. Why not you? Come on. No idle words. That's a good way to exercise your ability to make declaration. And you'll find if you do that over your neighborhood, you may start, don't be timid about it. Don't be apologetic. You have nothing to apologize for. Be bold. And if you don't know what to say, start out this way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, the living God, watch what starts coming out of your mouth. Then the words will start to flow. Then the declarations will start to flow. Pretty soon you'll be out there just praying and shouting over the neighborhood. Your neighbors will think you're weird and it doesn't matter. Glory to God. You will be the one they'll come to when they have need. You watch. No idle words in this group. I bind those idle words from you. Whew. I think that you need to get up and repent for idle words. I think the devil has just held you back. You want to move into a new level of freedom? Stand to your feet. Come on. We're going to take authority over idle words. Come on. Whew. All right, lift your hands up. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I am so sorry for idle words. Forgive me, Lord. Fill my mouth. Give me prophecy. Give me words of knowledge. Give me declaration. Give me worship. Give me new tongues. Give me new fire. Who in Jesus' name? Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. Whoa. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Whoo-wee. Whoa. Man, I felt the fire of the Lord. Whoo. All right, glory to God. Come on, come on. He's shifting you already, already. This, now you're going to go home. You make declaration over your neighborhood. You go to sleep and Jesus is going to make declaration over you. You watch. This is a new day. This is a new season. God is calling you up higher, and it's by His Holy Spirit you're coming up higher. It's only by His Holy Spirit. So you do what you know to do, and it makes room for Him to do what He wants to do in you. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Whoa, listen. in South America, they are under revival. The Queen of Heaven is losing her grip in South America. People are coming to the Lord by the droves. There are churches of 100,000 people, 60,000 people, young pastors, and they're being healed and delivered. Why not here? Why not here? Please be seated. Listen to this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:11, but it's against rulers and principalities. Listen to that word, principalities is the Greek word arch, A-R-C-H-E, from which you get the word architect. Those are the demonic architects of this world. We have authority over them. We have authority. Our struggle is against powers. Do you know what that word powers is? It's the word exousia or exousia. We are the ones to have exousia. Jesus, that means authority. The devil has usurped what belongs to the church. That's why we're wrestling with him. Rulers of world's darkness. That's the prince of this world, absolute ruler. And we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, badness, evil, malicious talk, evil talk. Have you ever been watching or hearing the reports on TV and the evil was so evil you could hardly comprehend? I want to tell you, I've been hearing some reports that just feels like it's breaking my heart. Our Christian family is being slaughtered alive. They're being mutilated. The most horrible things that could possibly be done to them, it's being done to Christians. And there are, I can't go into it, it'll give you nightmares. But evil, there is an evil loose in the world that's been getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the focus of all that evil is toward anything innocent and good. Anything that comes from our Father. There is more martyrdom taking place right now than ever before in the history of mankind. Entire people groups are on the brink of being eradicated. That the ones that have come to Christ, and they're crying. I heard one of the prophets from Rwanda stood up, and he gave this talk. And you all know about the Hutus and the Tutsis and the terrible slaughter that took place there. If you ever saw Hotel Rwanda, you have a small picture of it. It was so horrific. And yet here is this man with his face shining. He's lost his whole family. By neighbors. Neighbor turned against neighbor. Family against family. And his face was full of glory. And he began to challenge the American church to get stronger. Get stronger. Don't be afraid. God will be with you. In that hour, God will be with you. Because he said, the American church, they're afraid. Then the man from Nigeria came to speak. And he was in Nigeria when Idi Amin was the dictator. Idi Amin was an evil, evil, evil man. And this man also had lost many family members, and also they were just mutilated, just horrible things done to them. And yet here he is, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, unafraid, totally unafraid. Because he'd lost everything. He had nothing to lose. He'd seen the worst atrocities and he was still standing. I want you to know we are still standing. We will stand together. The church began to come together. In South America, with this revival, the churches are coming together. The apostles are linking. You have one church. One man was he had 60,000 members in his church, and he said he was just small potatoes. That his mentor, his church was over 100,000, 150,000, something like that. And they're linking arms. They're linking arms. We can do likewise. We can do likewise. We have authority over every false, wicked structure that has been established on planet Earth, over every ruler, over every power, over every principality, over every ruler of the darkness, over every high thing, whether it's a thought or an evil spirit, we have the authority over that thing. And God is telling us to be unified in this hour, arm to arm. We must be a part of the family. There's no lone rangers in this hour. Come on. Now, I know Alaska's known for her independence. Just repent. Come on. God's calling us to unity. Listen, cultural. Ooh, I'm going to step on some toes with this one. Cultural things can separate us, but not in the kingdom. If you're in the kingdom, you won't let that separate us. We are a kingdom people, and I'm challenging you tonight. I want you to go home and think about these things. I don't want this to be just a light message that's easily forgotten. I want the Spirit of God to prick your heart. And when he's visiting you in the night, I want him to send dreams that will expose anything that holds you back. I want you to jump higher and run farther than I ever could. I want you to make it. I want you to reach that finish line full of the glory of God. And bringing your sheaves with you. That means bringing your harvest with you. Come on. We have a harvest. And listen, there is a new anointing coming. A new generation is rising. Sons and daughters of the kingdom. They are full of life-giving words. They are fulfilling their destiny. World changers. The church is about to discover God as he is, and they are taking the mountains of society. I heard the report from the people that are ministering in Hollywood. Amazing changes taking place in Hollywood. A new, how many of you get Netflix? There is something called Pureflix that is now coming on the scene that has family oriented movies and documentaries, etc. I met the gentleman who is heading that up, and his vision is astonishing. They're releasing new family-friendly movies that are shooting to the top of the charts. It's incredible what God is doing with that mountain. And in the area of business, more and more business people are suddenly coming into a place where their businesses are able to expand, providing jobs and being able to find success in business in this downsized economy. It's shocking. But God has his hand of blessing on them. In education, did you know that the university here has a department of math, engineering, and science, and they've been promoting the students in the villages to choose these as their major? And I read an article in September in the Anchorage Daily News that said that this department was graduating 300 Native engineers. I was shocked. In the field of medicine, the Alaska Native Medical Center is winning awards all across the U.S. and has teams of doctors and nurses coming from other nations to see why it is so successful and doing so well. And I want to just honor Eileen Sylvester, who works with South Central Foundation and is one of the marketplace apostles who has held steady to the name of Jesus Christ in the middle of a challenging business atmosphere at the South Central Foundation. And I honor you for that, Eileen. That has been, let's honor her. When we were down at the prophets' gathering, Eleanor and I were there. The prophets, there were a greater number of prophets gathered than we've ever had. And we were able to enter into the courts of heaven properly. It's the first time we've done this as a team. And to make petition before the throne of God regarding our several issues in America. Racism was one of them. Our political issues, our upcoming election. The economy was the other one. And there it was, a solid petition made with respect and honor before the throne of the king. And then the courts was dismissed. We're going to see massive change coming to our nation because prophets are beginning to assume and function their proper role, legislating before the courts in heaven. Many of you can do that and can start doing it tonight. When you step out on that porch, you are laying claim to your neighborhood. When Eleanor and I went to Mongolia to pray for and to strengthen the teams in Mongolia, two churches, so they could go to their shaman gate and deal with the shamans at that gate. That was their territory. We could not do it, but we could strengthen them, link arms with them, say, you go, team, worship, shout until the glory fell. They went to those shaman gates. A bolt of lightning came down and struck the two primary shamans at that gate and killed them both. Since then, a number of the shaman villages in Alaska have opened to the gospel, and three shamans have recently come to Jesus. Listen. You claim your neighborhood. That's your territory. You begin to call for the glory of God to fall upon your neighbors. You be the change agent that begins in your neighborhood. You be the world changer God has made you. You can all do it. Huh. Now, would you mind bowing your head with me for a moment? Because I want to know how God wants to end this session. Because we've already had individual prayer for healing. Father, what do you want? Open your ears to hear.
When Mary was speaking, and she was talking about the idle words, what I was hearing is an idle word is a word or words that have no purpose in God. And earlier when she, in the message, she said, be prophetic. Well, being prophetic is speaking forth with purpose, the purpose of God. And when she said, be prophetic, in my heart, something leaped in my heart, and I began to hear a prophetic word. And I had to write it down, and I feel like it's important that I read exactly what I wrote. And I want you to listen and consider, think about what's being said and how it applies to you. And I wrote down, some of you have been rebuked by a former leader. when you were trying to step out in faith. You were sincerely trying to step out and speak the words of the Lord. But you were rebuked and you said in your heart, I'm not going to do that again. I was just hearing the Lord say, it's time to first of all forgive that person. Also forgive yourself. And even repent for what you said. I'm not going to do that again. It's time to open your heart again and let His Spirit flow through you. Now I just want you to pray with me. Think about that person. Father, that person that hurt me, that leader of the past, Lord, I choose to forgive them right now. I don't hold a grudge against them. I release them to you. I ask you to bless them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to heal my heart. I repent of that I said that I won't do that again. But I'm coming to you and saying, I open my heart to your Holy Spirit. Let your words flow through me. Baptize me afresh and anew. Jesus, restore me. Amen. You know, the words have been so very powerful tonight. And God wants to use each and every one of us. He wants to speak through us. There was one time I was sitting just in a mall, and there is this guy. It was a young black man as well. And I was just sitting there eating lunch. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just said, I want you to speak to him. So I just started speaking to him. And it was interesting because I started telling him this, and this has happened to you recently. But this is what God is saying to you. And he says, how do you know that? How do you know that? I said, it's just the Spirit of God that's inside of me. And he wants you to know that he loves you. You know what? We can step out and tell people that God loves them. We can at least start there. And God can build upon that. The word of the Lord tonight says that he's going to begin to speak to us in our dreams and in our sleep. Father, so let it be tonight. So let your Holy Spirit flow in our homes, Father. Our hearts are open to you. Our hearts are open to you. Our hearts are open to you. So let it be done, Lord.